kick the devil around here for an hour or two. Hallelujah. Some of you may remember the last time Jonathan was here, ministered the word. With power and clarity. And it is Jonathan Croft, who is the director of the Kingdom Faith Bible School in Horsham. A great brother in Christ. A man of godly character. A man with some weight. I tell you what, last time he ministered here, I saw a little bit of Colin Urquhart preaching, which is certainly not anything apart from a comment of adoration, or not adoration, praise, not praise, what's the word I'm looking for? It was good. It was good. We love Colin Urquhart. And just some of that anointing, our dear brother here, as he brought the word. So no further ado, Jonathan, we're going to pass to you. Thank you for coming. I hope you can do with this.
Yeah, that's fine. Yes, please. Yeah, fantastic. It's great to be here again. We're part of the same family. I'm from Kingdom Faith in Horsham. And we sent Les and Dot Mitchell, who are the senior pastors here, up 7-8 years ago, I think, isn't it? 10 years already. That's why it's gone so quick. But 10 years ago, we sent Les and Dot here. They have been traveling around London a little bit, different places here and then across the road in the city as well. So at this moment in time, this is where we are meeting. I've got a little bit of homework for you if you want to pass them out. And if you've got pens or papers, then you might be able to write back on the back of these things, because I've got 7 questions for you today. Easy questions, but might be life-changing. It's that simple. But I just came across this fairly recently. And I just feel that there's one or two things, phrases in this that I really believe God is wanting us to get hold of today. Hopefully I have enough. Hopefully I have enough. But I want to read this out, because this was from a guy who was written about 100 years ago, this was. And I'm not that old. But this was written about 100 years ago. And I just think it's absolutely fantastic. But there's one phrase in here that I really believe God wants us to get hold of tonight. But let's read it together. The greatest need of the world today is a mighty manifestation of the Spirit of God in revival power. Revival is when God reveals himself in awesome holiness and in irresistible power. I really believe that God, we'll get to it. God has, he's amazing. And I want to see his power released in his church in the 21st century. One of the things I do is look at revivals over the last 300-400 years, and I'm actually desperately wanting it now. I'm desperately wanting to see God come in his church in power. What do I mean by that? God just turns up. There's been meetings in histories where hundreds of people all at the same time worshipping God, next minute, they're all on the floor worshipping God. They couldn't be anywhere else because God turned up. And the only place when God in his awesome power and awesome glory comes into our midst is literally on our face, on our knees before him in worship and in adoration. God allowed me to taste something of this and several years ago. And I just came to a place where in the worship, and the worship guys tonight was fantastic. Well done. It's brilliant. You know, the anointing was there upon you. Fantastic. Brilliant. Wherever you are. Where's he gone? He's done a runner. There he is, having a cup of tea. That was great. Well done, mate. That was fantastic this evening. Brilliant worship. So I was just talking about you. You can go out again now, have a cup of tea. But no, that was great, wasn't it? But you know, one of the things that, you know, I know that in worship time, in different experiences, and God wants to turn up so much that our lives are completely and radically changed because we've met with Him. And I want to see that in every church, whatever banner is across that church, whether it's Methodist, Anglican, Charismatic, whatever, I want to see God invade His church like He has done in previous centuries, right from the word go, from Acts of the Apostles in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, when He came upon His people in tongues of fire. I want to see these things again. And I really believe that this is what God wants, that He comes in irresistible power. There's people out there that are resisting God at this moment in time, aren't there? It's the truth, isn't it? We can talk about Jesus, but they're resisting Him. When God comes in the way that I'm describing, it's not just people will just come off the street and they will not just come and have a little look at the back, but they will come and kneel before the throne of God. This is what happens in moves of God, that the atmosphere changes. We're meeting with God, we're encountering God, but then we have people coming right to the front, on the knees, on their faces before God in repentance. It's not sort of a superficial conversion. It is complete and utter brokenness before God, because there is nothing else that they can do because of God who is present amongst us. I'm believing for that. I'm longing for that. But I'm not seeing it yet. Otherwise, we will be hearing all of sorts of different things around London. You wouldn't be able to keep this quiet. Couldn't. What God does, God changes lives. God healing people. God setting people free. Cancers completely and utterly gone. People with mental disorders completely healed and set free because of truth, bringing freedom. All sorts of different things will be beginning to happen when God begins to move in this way. I believe it. It is when He visits the world of men to impart fresh vision of His glory and grace, and simultaneously to reveal man's sinfulness, inadequacy, and desperate need of God's mercy. See, that's one of the things that will begin to happen again. We actually, when God comes in this place, when God presents Himself or presences Himself amongst us, anything that contrary to who He is and what He wants in our lives, we will certainly get rid of very, very quickly, because He is the holy God. And when we come in all His holiness, in His holy presence, we stand before Him, we kneel before Him, we lay prostrate before Him. Wow, God brings change, but we are desperately in need of God's mercy. But that's not just the church. I believe that that's out there as well. They're in desperate need of God's mercy. Most of them don't know that yet. But we've got to demonstrate that by understanding God's mercy for us. Amen. During times of revival, God's people are restored from backsliding, carelessness, and inactivity. They become preoccupied with the things of God. In one sense, that's the question I really believe God is asking us tonight. Are we preoccupied by Him? Are we actually preoccupied with Him? Now, I've got 7 questions. So if you've got a pen, or if you've got an iPad or a phone, because I really believe that some of these questions are things that you're going to have to take away with you and pray through. Because I want you to constantly think, am I preoccupied with the things of God or not? And some of these questions are going to help you answer that question. Because I really believe that most of us in this room would sort of say, of course, I love God and I just am preoccupied with Him. But I'm just going to challenge you a little bit about that. What do you most want in life? That's the first question. What do you most want out of this life? Is it a good job? An amazing family? A beautiful wife? Girlfriend? Relationship? Is it to become the next amazing musician, drummer? What is it that you are wanting most out of this life? Or is it to please God in everything that you're doing? Is that your focus? Or are you focused on something else? Are you preoccupied with the things of God? Or are you preoccupied with something else that you are wanting, you're desiring? And that seriously can be a relationship. Some girls may want a husband, and so therefore that is a preoccupation. Some males may want a wife, and it is a good thing to have a wife. But some may want a lot of money, because that means that they can go skiing, and I actually love skiing. But you know, sometimes you can be preoccupied by things that actually are distractions to what God is purposing for our lives. Sometimes it's fame and fortune. Some people sometimes have amazing voices and they want to sing and they want to perform. And I'm not against performance, please, I'm not against that. But what is it that you most want in this life? Number two, question number two. And these are all linked. What do you think about most? What do you want most in this life? And what do you think about most? Do you think about Liverpool Football Club? I'm from Merseyside, so originally anyway. And Liverpool is sort of an interest of mine. But you know, sometimes you can be so preoccupied. I was talking to a couple of friends of mine, and sometimes, you know, I go to prayer meetings, and sometimes on European nights, at 9 o'clock sharp, when the meeting is meant to be finishing, sometimes, and I'm pleased this is a confession, sometimes I'm running to the nearest to get home because I want to see the last half an hour of the football game. So in a sense, for me, I'm confessing this before you guys, sometimes I'm focused, I'm thinking about, even in a prayer time, what the scores are in the European matches. And, you know, whether you're Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs, you know, we can so often begin to think about things. And I really believe God's sort of saying, what are we preoccupied most with in our life? You know, I know there's quite a lot of musicians here because we had a great time today. But sometimes we can even get preoccupied about songs or music, and that's what we're thinking about. Even when, you know, we're meant to be having our own times with the Lord, what are you thinking about at those times? I mean, we have a worship time every morning in our Bible school. And we have it from 8 o'clock to about 8:45 every day, Monday to Friday. And again, sometimes when we are worshiping God, what I'm thinking about is, okay, what do I have to do for the rest of the day? You know, I've got to meet so-and-so. Oh, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory, amen. Oh, I need to then see Joe Bloggs because that's a pastoral issue I need to sort out. What am I thinking about? Because what God wants for me and what God wants for you is to be preoccupied by Him so that our focus and our attention is always on Him. Three. You ready for this one? How we use our money. How do you use your money? How do I use my money? Because sometimes, you know, it may be that, you know, you're into computers and things like that. And so all your money goes towards computers or You know, it may be, you know, like Matt loves guitars, and what he does with his spare money is to buy another guitar. Or, you know, you can get so caught up with your finance that when you get some finance, when you get some money, what are you using it for? What's preoccupying your money? What are you giving your money to? What are you spending your money on? Is it all entertainment for you? Or is it something of a, you know, a season ticket? Or is it shopping? You know, every time you go to get some money in your pocket, you automatically go shopping. And you buy the things that you want, another pair of shoes. Or another handbag, or another guitar, or another iPad, or another phone. What from a, you know, a situation, we have friends who just love trainers. And we have another friend who just loves watches. And we, how many watches did he have, Matt Hellyer? Dave Hellyer had how many, there's loads. It was loads and loads of trainers every time. And he even had one designed by himself because he was spending his money on trainers. But, you know, please, I'm not here sort of saying that we can't spend some money on ourselves. But what I am saying is, what is our preoccupation even with our money? Because if we're going to be people who are preoccupied by the things of God, then we need to make sure that our finances are being used in the right way that is going to help us in that focus that God, I believe, wants for every single one of us. How do we use our leisure time? You know, so many of us, probably, we have half an hour, 45 minutes with our quiet time where we read the word and pray. But sometimes then we have hours of leisure time that we use to please ourselves. The latest cinema. You know, we you know, love going out with our friends and mates. And please, that's not wrong in itself. But what I am asking you is what, and you know, how, what do we do with our leisure time? Because you see, if you are preoccupied by the things of God, what you will do with your leisure time is in a situation where it's like you want to be with your Christian friends. You will want to be with other people who aren't Christians, but you will want to be talking about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is your preoccupation. You're thinking about him, what he wants for you, what he wants for your life, what he wants for your time. And even when you're in a non-Christian company, whether you're in working places, colleges, or whatever, you are still thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're so conscious that he's next to you. And therefore, even in your social time, you will want to be including him in the way that you're acting, or the way that you're speaking. But you see, this is the thing. If we are going to have a move of God, which I believe he wants for all of us, we need to be understanding that we've got to be preoccupied with him. And that doesn't mean that we become all sort of religious and we all have to start dressing up in suits and girls have to wear skirts and hats and things like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being out there, being real, because we're in a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we're in a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, all of our priority, all of our focus, we're absorbed with him. And so therefore, we become preoccupied by the things of God. It's exciting, actually, because you don't know how God is going to use you. When you're preoccupied by the things of God, you don't know what's around the corner, but you are excited because you know God's going to use you. Because you know that he's there, you know that you're in right relationship with him. And because you know that you're in right relationship with him, anything could happen because God is supernatural and he wants to do supernatural things through you. But the question is, what is preoccupying your time? Hence these questions. The company that you enjoy. That's the next question. Whose company do you enjoy? Are they people who are pulling you down? Are they people who are encouraging you? And please, again, this is not about believers, non-believers, but we need to make sure that whoever we are spending lots and lots of time with, that we're not being pulled down to their level, but we are the head, not the tail. We're the ones that are influencing our friends, not the other way around. Because it's so, so easy, isn't it, to be in a group of people and you just then can get caught up with whatever they're doing. So if they're talking negatively about their bosses at work, it is so easy to come into a place where you are agreeing with them and you are coming into a place with that friendship group where you are gossiping as well about your bosses. You're speaking negatively over them. Instead of doing something different where you're actually influencing and sort of saying, actually, he's got a hard job or she's got a hard job. We need to be encouraging her or we need to be encouraging him. And then you're praying there, you know, in your own time for your bosses, for your work colleagues. But you see, if we're not preoccupied, if we've got a friendship group who are pulling us down all the time, then every time we then have to come into an environment where we're trying to allow God to lift us up, but then we're going back down into a worldly situation. And please, God wants us to be in the world, but not of it. God wants us to be people who are influencing our friends, not the other way around. And hence that question, what company are we enjoying? Because sometimes if we're enjoying the things that they're enjoying, we're enjoying the worldliness that some of our friends possibly might have, then we might get caught up in doing things that we know that God is not pleased with. Because you see, we want to see a move of God. I do. I don't know about you, but I want to see a move of God in our time. And you see, one of the things I believe is some of you youngsters, it's your generation that is going to be carrying the sword right into the heart of some of this stuff. That doesn't mean it discludes us older people here, John. But you know, it doesn't exclude us. But you see, you know, there is going to be a group of young people who are going to be people who are not going to take no for an answer. They're going to be people who are sold out for God. They're going to be people who are completely and utterly preoccupied by the things of God. Because they are preoccupied by the things of God, the company that they are with, they are the ones that are going to influence. They are the ones that are going to change the atmosphere. So every time you go into a situation, I used to work in Merseyside in the docks. One of the things that I used to do sometimes was to go to some of the staff parties. And they used to start meeting at 8 o'clock, 8, 9 o'clock. But by the time 11, 11.30, 12 o'clock came, there was my colleagues that had a little bit too much to drink. And so therefore, that was the time that I left. It wasn't that, you know, I was then, because they were going to go on to the nightclubs and things like that. But I felt that, you know, at some point, I just stayed until a time where I felt that I could not then influence them anymore. And so I withdrew. But in between, before that, I was the person who was able to have good conversations because they asked me questions. And so therefore, I had the opportunity to talk about my own faith, my own belief in an environment that they found comfortable. So I'm not saying that we cannot go into those areas, but I am saying that we've got to be people who are being influencing in that situation, not the opposite way around. And so therefore, I often went, but I often withdrew. Sometimes it was even earlier, sometimes 10, 10:30, because of the discussion that was going on was becoming in a negative way, and I did not want to be tarnished with that negativity. And that's why, for me, you've got to be very, very careful. In part, some of you youngsters who are not married yet, you need to be understanding that the relationship and the company that you are going to have for the rest of your life in a marriage partnership needs to be the right marriage partnership. Because at the end of the day, if it is the right marriage partnership, then it will be something that you will be encouraging one another. It will not be something that you are coming into a place where it's a negative relationship. It's something of positive, both sides. So the company we enjoy. Who and what do we admire is the next question. Question six. You know, sometimes, you know, you can have a pop group or a particular, so I'm using you, Matt, tonight. But you could have a guitarist that, you know, you admire. You can't admire yourself. But, you know, you could have somebody that you look up to. And, you know, you always want to, watching that guitarist or that drummer on YouTube. You're always looking, if it's baseball or basketball that you love, that you're always watching a particular star. That you're watching how he dribbles, or you see that guy who scored the goal for Spurs the other day, and you admire it. You're looking at something, and you've got to be careful that it doesn't become an idol. That thing that we admire can so easily become a distraction to us. And we can begin to admire things, and in and of themselves, that is not wrong. But we've got to make sure that in admiring them, they do not become an idol. And that we do not allow that admiration to become a distraction for us to be preoccupied by the things of God. You understand? It's so subtle, isn't it, at times where we can admire things and in and of themselves they're good. But if we become, if we can cross a line, and that crossed line can be into our focus and it taking our attention all the time. So in our admiration, it can then, I'm going to be watching this YouTube instead of having an encounter with God, or I'm going to be having some time watching this again instead of spending time with our wives or our friendship groups. Because I don't know about you, sometimes you can be so preoccupied. I mean, as I do, I enjoy football, I enjoy sport, and I've got to be very, very careful. And for many, many years, I didn't have Sky Sports on my TV. Why? Because it would have been a distraction to me. I admire these sports people, but it would be a distraction to me, and therefore for my wife and my two grown-up children. Sometimes that sports, I mean, I can watch sport all day. I can, and I've got to make sure it doesn't so preoccupy me. It doesn't come from an admiration of sports talent that actually distracts me from the relationships that God wants me to have that he's placed around me. But you see, sometimes when I get preoccupied by sport and then my team loses, I can react negatively to that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And my team is losing quite a lot at the moment. But you see, if we admire, as I say, admiration is not wrong. But if we lose focus or we concentrate on that too much, then I really believe that we begin to not get preoccupied by the things of God and what he wants in our lives. Question seven, and this is quite an interesting one. What do we laugh at? What do we actually laugh at? It's an interesting one, isn't it, that one? But you see, what do we find funny? Because you see, sometimes I think what we find funny can be at the expense of somebody else. You know, somebody is poking fun at a friend, and So instead of encouraging them, building them up, speaking positively over them, we can sometimes get caught up with humor, but that actually is pointing a finger at somebody. Sometimes the humor on TV, I mean, I don't know about you, sometimes the comics on TV sometimes are hilarious, but then they go and spoil it by swearing. And, you know, again, please, I'm not naive to think that people, you know, don't have the odd swear word here and there. And in environments of workplaces and things like that, you know, often you hear a lot of swearing and things like that. But I don't want to have humor, something that I'm laughing at, that is contrary to the things that God wants me to be preoccupied with. And please, I think it's great that we have a laugh together. I really do. I think sometimes we take ourselves far too seriously as Christians. And seriously, I think we need to have a real laugh. But we need to make sure that we're laughing at the right things and laughing with the right people. Because, you know, I know that sometimes, you know, bullying can happen through laughter. You know, there can be a group of people, four, five, six people laughing, and there's somebody on the outside of that group, and they think they're laughing at them. So we've got to be really careful that our humour, and please, you know, it's TV. As I say, I've watched some comics on TV, and they're funny, aren't they? They're really funny, and you start laughing, and then they suddenly start going on swearing or onto a subject that you know that if God was sitting next to you or Jesus was sitting next to you, he wouldn't be laughing, because it's laughing at the expense of somebody. I know this is sometimes quite hard, because I know that humor is, you know, people have different sort of things that they laugh at. But, you know, if we're going to be preoccupied by the things of God, then I really believe that we've got to make sure that even when we are having some downtime, when we're having some fun, that we're laughing at the right things, not the wrong things. Do you understand? Does that make sense? Sorry, I'm not trying to talk over your heads tonight, because I think this is for me, it's relevant for every single one of us. And that's why, for me, these questions are so important, because if we are going to be God, the people that God wants us to be, then all of these questions, all of these seven questions, and that piece of paper that's in front of you, and that just that phrase, that really strikes me. What am I being preoccupied with? Am I being preoccupied by the things of God? Because if I'm preoccupied by the things of God, then what I want most will be what he wants for me. And that will be a life that pleases him in everything that I do. If I'm preoccupied by the things him, what is on my mind? God, what do you want? What do you want from me? What are you asking of me? Where do you want me to go tonight? What do you want me to say in that situation? How do you want me to respond? What do you want me to do with my life? Who do you want me to marry? You could become preoccupied with who he is and what he wants with your life. Lord, what do you want to do with my money? And he might say, go and enjoy yourself. Go and take out your wife for a nice meal. Go and enjoy the cinema tonight. There's a good film on. That's quite a challenge sometimes these days as well. But you understand that, you know, it's not that God is not wanting you to spend your money on yourselves at times, but when you're preoccupied by the things of God, you don't see it as yours. And so therefore you're always saying, God, I want to be a good steward of what you have given me financially. And so therefore, what do you want me to do with my finance? And sometimes God might say, I want you to give that person over there that gift of £20. And you never know why God is giving you that person £20, but that may be a bill that is coming in and they couldn't pay it. When a few years ago, we weren't getting salary when Kingdom Faith first started. We were all self-employed, and so therefore what that meant was that we had to believe God for our money. We were living by faith, as it was known. And often we got to a situation where We had nothing in our cupboards, and we kept rejoicing, we kept praising God. We went back to our home thinking that we weren't going to have anything to eat that night, and guess what? There was a bag on the doorstep with some eggs, some bread. On a number of occasions that happened. We knew sometimes who gave it to us, but on other occasions we had no idea. So God sometimes can ask you to do something using the resources that he has given you, and with the resources that he has given you, he might ask you to go and do something with them. That's why it's important that if we are preoccupied by the things of God, then our finances come into line too. What do we do with our leisure time? Is it out of balance with God's plan and purpose for my life? Am I spending so much in leisure time that actually is more than actually I'm spending in the company of my friends, my Christian friends, actually with the Lord himself? Because what God wants you to do is to get to know him. And if we are in our leisure time preoccupied with ourselves and not him, then for me there's a question mark. Does God want us to have fun? Absolutely. Sometimes I go skiing, and I believe God allows me to go skiing from time to time. And, you know, we weren't able to go skiing for years and years and years because, obviously, finances were often a faith challenge. And, you know, we have friends who live in Switzerland, and so therefore often they've given us places that we can go and stay. And all we have to then do is, and they find skis for us, etc. And so therefore all we needed to do was find some flights. And, you know, we are very privileged to have some friends in some amazing places. But, you know, one of the things that I sometimes do, I think God just really smiles when we're having fun on the ski slopes. So it's not that God is going to withhold things from you, but it's just making sure that they're in the right place, because we're preoccupied by him. He then, I believe, releases leisure time to us so that we can actually enjoy one another's company in and through fun things. You understand my heart here? Yes? Because for me, this is about us doing this together. This is not me talking to you. This is us wanting the things of God, because we don't know desperately. All of us know desperately something needs to happen, because there's a dying world out there. So we need to be preoccupied by the things of God in all of our lives. And so therefore the company we enjoy. And, you know, Lord, just help us to be the heads, not the tail. If we become in a situation where we cannot influence anymore, then we withdraw until God gives us another opportunity. Yeah, agreed. Who we admire, making sure that we are admiring, that it doesn't go beyond the admiration and admiring something, a thing or something, so that we are always in line with God's plan and also what we laugh at. All important, isn't it? Can we please stand? Just close your eyes, please. See, when people become preoccupied by the things of God, they become intensely prayerful. When people become preoccupied by the things of God, they love God's house, the church. They love meeting together in fellowship and worship. For people who are preoccupied by the things of God, they develop a hunger to hear more and more about him. They wanting to learn more and more about him. But one of the things that they learn more about is the word. They get a hunger for the word of God. And also, people who are preoccupied by the things of God begin to have develop a passion for souls. And they become deeply concerned about the spiritual welfare of the lost. I really believe that all the time, you know, that when God speaks to us, God always wants us to respond to him in one way or another. And we respond to him by talking to him. And so, in your own language, just talk to him very, very quietly. But make sure you're saying something, you're speaking something out. Because it's not just about thinking these things through, it's just about talking things through. But just, if that's your heart, Lord, I want to be preoccupied by the things of you. Lord, forgive me if I've done anything in these seven areas that, Lord, I've been preoccupied by other things. Lord, I've not been focusing my attention upon you. Forgive me, Father. Please, you've got to put your own words in here. Whatever your situation, your life situation is, you need to respond to, I believe, what God has been saying to all of us tonight. In different ways. Because one of those 7 points may be relevant, more relevant for you than somebody else. But there may be point three was more relevant to you than somebody else. So you need to respond to what God's saying. And if you need to say, sorry, Father. Lord, I know that I've not been using my time in the right way. I've been preoccupied by my career. I've been preoccupied, Father, by just my friendship group. Lord, forgive me. Father, forgive me for my humor. Sometimes, Lord, I know that it's been at the expense of others. Lord, forgive me. Lord, for laughing at the wrong things that I know that you wouldn't be pleased about. Father, just release that joy within me. Father, where, Lord, I can laugh at the right things, at the right time, with the right people. Whatever is relevant for you, you need to just talk to the Lord. Because this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ is something of heart to heart that he's looking for in each and every one of us. Father, I want to be preoccupied by your things concerning you. Lord, I want to be focused on the right things, not the wrong things. Again, I can't pray these things for you. You need to pray these things out. Holy Spirit, I just ask you that you will just come and make yourself so real to each and every one of us. Lord, the words that you've asked me to speak tonight, Lord, I just give them to you. And Lord, I just ask you that you will take the words and make it real for each and every one of us. So that we truly are preoccupied by who you are. That we will allow you to do what you choose in our lives. We will allow your order to come into our lives. And Father, Lord, even our leisure time. Father, Lord, we know that you want to give us our leisure time. But Father, we want to be preoccupied by the things concerning you. Father, you tell us to love our brothers and sisters. Father, I just ask you that you will just help us to love our brothers and sisters in a right way, where we are enjoying each other's company with laughter, sometimes with tears. But Father, Lord, that we're doing all because we're preoccupied by you and your kingdom purposes. Lord, I thank you that as we come to communion tonight, Father, Lord, that this is a fantastic opportunity. Father, Lord, to come as we take that bread and we drink of the cup. Father, Lord, as each one of us comes and takes tonight, Father, I just thank you that we're taking of the body of Christ and, Lord, the centrality of you, who you are, and Father, Lord, coming before you saying, God, as I take tonight this bread and I take of the cup tonight. Father, Lord, I truly want my life to be in that place where I am completely absorbed by who you are. That my attention is upon you and you alone. Lord, I don't want to be distracted by anything or anybody. But Lord, I want my life to count. I want my life to be significant. I want my life to be in your hands so that in everything that I do, Father, Lord, it pleases you. And Father, Lord, tonight, Father, Lord, I just come and again, Father, Lord, give you my life, my body. And Lord, I just ask you that your life, your amazing life, will come and fill my life to overflowing. Thank you, Father.
Amen. I hope you've appreciated the word tonight. Is Jonathan gentle with us? I thought he was very gentle. A bit challenging. Amen. Now, when we apply the word that we hear, change begins with a prayer. You know, your heart is touched, a contrite heart. We pray and we ask God. Then we need to do something different in our lives, don't we? If we don't live our lives any different until after tonight, then it won't make any difference at all. We've got to change the way we live. So when you come, I'm going to invite you just a second, to come and take communion, the bread and the wine. Think upon not only what God's put on your heart regarding what Jonathan shared, one of these 7 points, maybe there's something that's been highlighted, underlined, prodded, scribbled around in your heart, and maybe there's something you can change in your life that will bring change in your life. Because unless you change, God can't bring the change. God is never going to force us. He's never going to put your arm up behind your back and say you must change that. We bring the change, but he prompts us. And that's when we move forward into new areas in God, new seasons in God, new levels of intimacy in God, more opportunities for us to do things for him only come when we change. He does the prompting, he does the leading, he brings the word. We apply the word, and the word applied brings change. Now, so often we desperately want to see some change in our life, in our spiritual dynamic. We want more of God, we want more opportunity, we want to see more of him moving. And he's saying yes. But we just need to do a bit more changing within us, that we let him in to work through us, that we give him opportunity in our lives to do something different and something new. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And what makes the communion powerful is not the holy or the reverent way we do it, but it's the fact that it actually means something, that we're going to change something. It's going to be real to us. And I think the realism comes that we want to get closer. We want to change. We want to do more for him. So that preoccupation that Jonathan's spoken about tonight, it's not just about those 7 points, but it's about our lives, you know. Are we living for him, or are we living for ourselves? Are we living for our families? Are we living for our work? Or are we living for a dream that's never going to happen because it's just a dream? He calls us to live for him. It's in him we live and move and have our very being.